Is that a game or what yesterday? What game? You know, when I lived in Jacksonville for 9 years, I was indoctrinated that it was the Florida-Georgia game. When I just heard wrong. That's what I heard when I moved to Georgia and quickly came to know and to understand that rightly this is the Georgia-Florida game. And Georgia came out kicking yesterday. And I was very pleased. As a matter of fact, I was so tied up with stuff yesterday. As Amy was here late yesterday afternoon setting the altar and getting everything ready, she reminded me that it was on. So I headed home and I put it on the TV and I enjoyed every moment of it. I really did. It was quite a crowd. You guys are passionate about your dogs and about our dogs, and rightly so. Quite a game. It's been an interesting week. I got a message from someone in the parish, actually from some people in the parish, of a need. And it's always important for us to respond to needs, just like Jesus responds to our needs. You see, I guess it was about a year ago, there was a horse. And the horse's name was Dutch, or is Dutch. And Dutch wasn't doing well. As a matter of fact, Dutch was on his way out. And so I was asked if I would be able to anoint and pray for Dutch, and I did. Friday morning, I had the opportunity to see Dutch again and give thanks, and he recognized me and came right over to me. But I was there for another reason. There's another horse called Chip who was going to have surgery that morning. And I'm a firm believer that when we come before Jesus and ask him for anything, that he honors that and he blesses that. He wants us to come to him. And so Chip apparently doesn't like his face to be touched. So what did I do? I didn't know. I went over and I started stroking his nose and up his forehead. And when I stopped, all of a sudden, he pounded his hoof. He wanted more, so I gave him more. And I was talking to him and calming him down. Boom, there goes the hoof. Once, twice. So I responded. Then it was time to pray because the surgery was going to take place in a few minutes. I anointed the star on his forehead. Oh, and then I went and said goodbye to Dutch before leaving, and he put his head on my shoulder. I mean, it's like, do you know what people, I mean, they could tell what I was there for and who I was there for. What a blessing. And Chip is doing fine. Chip is doing fine. I checked. I'll just keep it anonymous, but those of you horse lovers, you know who I'm talking about. A real blessing to be able to minister. Somebody said to me, well, do you believe in blessing animals? I said, yeah. Because when you bless an animal, you're really blessing the owner. And the people, this person, the lady who owns the horse, her name is Sue. And she just did not forget what happened with Dutch. And now I believe she's never going to forget what God did for Chip. When I was growing up, there was a TV commercial that had one memorable line. Some of you might be too young to remember this, but others, I bet you do. Mother, please, I'd rather do it myself. Anybody remember that Anison commercial? It was like, you know, worse than the spicy meatballs. But you could hear people all over repeating that catchphrase. And a lot of laughter would follow with it. Mother, please, I'd rather do it myself. This woman was about ready to explode. We were laughing at this poor woman's headache, all the while agreeing with her wanting the freedom to push back and do it herself. You see, we are a society that rewards people for doing things ourselves, and that's not a bad thing. Standing on that principle. It's okay, however, to know when you need to ask for assistance, ask for help, and guys, even ask for directions. I can remember seeing an old Tim Taylor, Tim the Tool Man Taylor show, and they were in the car and they're driving in Detroit and they're lost. And Tim would not ask for directions. They ended up in Canada or something. But, I mean, it was really, it hit home that people sometimes are too proud to ask for directions or to ask how to put something together. How many people read instructions when they open up a box? I believe, if you will, that it's character building for us to exhaust all available measures to try to take care of a situation. But there has to come a time when we realize that a situation is beyond our means and the capability to resolve. Today's Holy Gospel is such an example. As Jesus and his followers leave Jericho, near the Jordan, the River Jordan, and the Dead Sea, they heard a blind man calling, the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus. Bar meaning son of, Timaeus is his father, seeking the help of Jesus. He was calling out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And people surrounding him told him, "Be quiet." But he shouted even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Just like the woman who had the bleeding issue for 12 years, who crawled just to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And Jairus, whose daughter was dying, if not dead, seeking the mercy of Jesus to do what they could not do, to go where they could not go. And Jesus asked the blind beggar, "What do you want me to do for you? Do you, Bartimaeus, want to give up begging? Do you want to have to live differently, to work for a living, to have no reason to sit by the roadside all day seeking compassion from people passing by for a shekel, if not more?" We're talking about presenting Bartimaeus with a challenge. And Bartimaeus, God bless him, rose to the challenge. He wants the new life, not only sight, but a chance to follow Jesus. Isn't that what we all want? Could you imagine seeing for the first time in many years? You know, I saw this thing on the internet not too long ago of a man who had been colorblind and was seeing things differently than we did. And his family gave him a surprise. They gave him a pair of glasses that he was able to put on, and colors popped out while this man began to weep. Can you imagine Bartimaeus, that he was seeing things for the very first time, seeing Jesus and joining him on the way up to Jerusalem? I want to suggest to you that Bartimaeus is a model for us to imitate. Unlike the disciples, who really didn't understand what Jesus was all about, he's already a man of faith, courage, and true discipleship. He recognized in his heart of hearts that Jesus is the Son of David and therefore the Messiah. He clearly believes that Jesus can help him. And here, Jesus tell him, "Your faith has healed you." Just think, he leaves behind his begging, whatever he spread on the ground to receive money, his cloak, and he got up, the gospel says, to follow Jesus. Now, you've got to understand the terrain and the weather of Jericho. Jericho is directly across from the River Jordan. You can read about that in Joshua when they came over and spied on the city of Jericho. And of course, you know, went around it and the walls fell. And it's right near the Dead Sea. It is the lowest portion or area of the face of this earth below sea level. It's not cool there. It's hot. It's a desert. And hardly ever cold enough for anyone to wear a cloak during the day. But yet, Bartimaeus gets up and follows Jesus on the road. But before he does, he throws away his coat, his cloak. A stark contrast to the recent request from the disciples. You remember when James and John went up to Jesus and they asked to have a seat, one on his left and one on his right? A request for power, for prestige and glory. Well, just like Jesus is restoring the sight for the blind man at the Bethsaida, Mark chapter 8, the healing of Bartimaeus is a sign that Jesus is trying to open his followers' eyes. It's a time for the world to see Jesus is not just the Messiah, but the one who would give his life to bring salvation for each one of us, for the entire world. And when Jesus says to him, "Your faith has healed you," the early Christian would see those words with a wider and deeper meaning. You see, the key to salvation is faith. Believing in Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's why anyone from all walks of life can be saved. What does Jesus say? God so loved the world. That's everybody. But not everybody chooses Jesus. The key to salvation, believing in Jesus. The invitation is open to everyone. And often it's people who see that they can't control a situation that they're in, and they give it to God. Calling out to him, like Bartimaeus, to take control and to heal them and their situation. I want to suggest to you that faith consists of recognizing who Jesus is and trusting that he has the power to rescue you, no matter what the situation is. Maybe even to rescue the horse. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I want you to just imagine what it must have been like in the crowd at Jericho that day. It's hot, it's dry, it's dusty. You're very excited. You're walking with Jesus. You're following him. You're going up the old Roman road to Jerusalem, and it's steep. You hear a voice of someone shouting from the roadside. It's an annoyance. Oh, what? Another person that's trying to get to Jesus? Might even be dangerous. You're hearing Jesus called the Son of David. And someone from the temple or a Pharisee might get upset and start to cause some problems. But Jesus reveals the character of the compassionate healer as he turns to speak to the blind man. Bartimaeus just doesn't sit there, but he gets up. Somebody led him to Jesus. Jumps to his feet and goes right to Jesus. The blind man has truly realized that he can no longer do it himself. And he seeks Jesus' healing. Jesus recognizes this man's heart. And he asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus honestly gives his problem to Jesus and tells him, "Rabbi, I want to see." When we seek Jesus and his compassion, his love, and his healing, he gives of himself and touches the problem. His response to this man's surrender is, "Go, your faith has healed you." With these words, Bartimaeus immediately got his sight back and without hesitation, without a second thought, followed Jesus. It's easy for us to imagine ourselves there, witnessing this as we follow the words of the gospel. But I want you to now imagine yourself as the blind man. Would we have had the courage, after years of struggling and begging, having to rely on others to lead you around, would you have had the courage that day to seek Jesus' healing? Imagine sitting by the side of the road, being humbled to seek help and financial assistance from others. Well, there are many instances in the life of Jesus that people had the courage to seek the mercy, compassion, healing, and love of Jesus. They had to come to the realization that there's nothing more that they could do for themselves beyond their control. It's not easy to come to grips that you are, in essence, powerless over a situation in your life. Think about the man with the leprosy. The centurion who sought healing for his servant, the woman with the bleeding issue for 12 years, the man who was lowered on the mat by his friends just to be able to see Jesus seeking healing, and the man who sat by the pool of Bethesda, awaiting the healing he knew would one day come. This is just a short list of the people who knew that they needed a healer, a savior. Our Savior, our healer, our Lord Jesus loves you, and he is willing. We all have something in our lives, whether it's a physical ailment, an emotional issue, or even a spiritual roadblock that's getting in the way of our being the people that we believe God wants us to be and made us to be. So can you, like Bartimaeus, call out to Jesus, and when he calls you near, can you put everything aside and go to him? Or would you rather do it yourself? When Jesus asks you, what do you want him to do? Go for it. Ask for freedom. Ask for salvation. And when you get it, be prepared to follow Jesus wherever he goes next. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.